Amen. I want to invite you to open up your Bibles with me to the book of Psalms. We're going to look at Psalms chapter 119 and verse 105 at the tail end of this message. Psalm 119 and verse 105. How is everyone this morning? You well? Anybody get wet? Anybody get wet walking? Yeah. Okay. Well, good for you. Good for you. You came anyway. You braved it. So that's awesome. We hope you dry off. We might need to kick up the heat for the wet people. Don't want to freeze anyone out. But with this, we are honored and delighted to have you here with us. And I want to talk to you today about hearing the voice of the Lord. It is so heartbreaking to me, and I use that word on purpose, heartbreaking, because it literally does just tear me up on the inside to think that there's a whole segment of Christianity that believes God won't speak to his people. It just is phenomenal to me that people could think that way, that you have this amazing God who would send his son to die for us, go to hell for us, conquer death, hell, and the grave for us, and then leave us without any type of relationship with him. Friend, you can't have a relationship with someone who never talks to you. You can't have a relationship with someone who you can't talk to and them talk back. You've got to have strong communication and any strong relationship. And friends, the awesome thing about the Word of God is it shows us a speaking God. He spoke from Genesis all the way to Revelations. He spoke to Adam in Genesis. He spoke to John in the book of Revelations. God is a speaking God. He will lead us. He will guide us. And you can know his voice. And as a pastor, and for some of you who go to church here as your pastor, I crave this for you. Like, I crave for you to hear the voice of God in your life. You need it, and so do I. And Jesus has promised us we would have it. He said things like this in John chapter 10. They'll put it up on the screens, and check this out. I got a new screen, and I like my screen because now I never have to turn around to see the side screens. Now, here's the awesome thing, though, that with this, if you're right in front of us, you can see it. But no, if you're on the side or you're like way out and back, and it's like, Pastor Joel, I can tell I need to go to the eye doctor because I can't read anything on that thing. Don't worry. Everything that's on this screen is on our side screens as well. John chapter 10, verse 3, this is in the Amplified. It says, this is Jesus talking, the watchman opens the door for this man. This man he's talking about is himself, Jesus. And the sheep, I love this, listen to his voice and heed it. Now notice that they listen to it. How many of you know there's a big difference between hearing and listening? Those of you who have kids know the difference. Any of you have kids? Like, they heard you, but they weren't listening to you. It's like, go clean your room, and then 5 minutes later, they're still watching cartoons, and it's like, wait a minute. I know I just told you to go clean your room. Why are you still watching SpongeBob? But with this, you see that it's a big difference between hearing and listening. And notice, he says, Jesus said, I want my sheep to listen to my voice. That you have a priority in your life, that in your life you're listening, that you're listening for the voice of God. And not only are you listening to his voice, you are also heeding it, meaning you are acting on what you have heard. He calls his own sheep by name. This is Jesus talking about his sheep, and he leads them out. And verse 4, he says, when he was brought his own sheep outside, I love this, he walks on before them. How many of you know God's not just with you now, but God also sees your future? He's out in front of you, and he knows exactly what you need to do today. He knows the exact conversation you need to have with the waitress at lunch. He knows the exact way to minister effectively to the person you'll see this afternoon at the gas station. God knows your future better than you know your past. He is out before you. Now notice, not only is he out before you, but you are following him because he's out in front of you, so he knows the opportunities and the dangers. You're following him because you know his voice. You know his voice. Notice Jesus did not say, my shepherds know my voice. He said, no, my sheep. I want my sheep to know my voice. Well, who's a sheep? You are. If you've called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you could be buying right now. You are a sheep, man. You are a sheep, my friend. I'm telling you, God wants to speak to you. Jesus said, I want you to know my voice. And the reason why I want you to know my voice is I want to lead you in life. I want to guide you in life. You can know the voice of God. you're a child of God in this place, if that means just simply you said at some point in your life, Jesus, I surrender my life to you. I make you my Lord and Savior. You are a child of God. You can be led by the Spirit of God. Not only can you be led by the Spirit of God, you should be led by the Spirit of God. His voice should be rich in your life and mine. And I want to lead you into how to make this a reality. In John chapter 10 and verse 27, he goes on further in the Amplified and says, "The sheep that are my own hear and are listening to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." So why don't you say this with me? Say, "I am his sheep, and I know his voice." I know God's voice, and the voice of a stranger I will not follow. I know the voice of God. Amen. You can say this with me. This is something I say all the time. You can say it with me. Say, "His voice is more real to me than the sound of my own voice." His voice is more real to me than the sound of that thunder. His voice is more real to me than the chair I'm sitting in. I'm a sheep. I know his voice. It'd be good for you to talk that way all the time. If you say so, it'll be so. People all the time talk about, "I just can't understand, and I don't know if God's speaking to me." Stop all that. Say, "No, I am a sheep, and I know his voice. I know his voice. Jesus said I would know his voice. I know his voice." It is huge for us to be led by the Spirit of God. I had a buddy of mine go up to New York. Anyone thankful for your buddies? Like, you just got, amen. You ought to tell your buddy thank you. Just, you could text him right now and say, "I was just thinking about you in church. Wanted to say thank you." But with this, my buddy and I were talking. He went up to New York for business and pleasure, and him and his wife, and they just had a great time. And while they were there, they went to a church that's up there that I've admired from afar, never been there, watched them a couple of times, but never been there. And so when he came back, I asked him, I said, "How was your experience? What did you think about the church?" And he said, "Man, it was great." And I'm like, "Not better than mine, though, right?" No, I didn't say that. But anyway, he was talking about it. I said, "Well, what did they preach on?" And he mentioned this phrase that the pastor said, and the pastor said this: "It is better to be Spirit-led than it is to be battle-tested." It's better to be Spirit-led than it is to be battle-tested. What does battle-tested mean? It means you simply have experience. And for those of you who have lived life, you have experience. And what's so interesting is the more experience we get, the more we begin to base our next decision off of the last decision we've made. And if the last decision we made went well, we tend to base the next decision off of that decision. And if the last decision went bad, then in light of how bad it went, we'll base the next decision off of that decision. And that's a good way to live, but it's not God's best way. You can get wisdom from being battle-tested. But the issue is even with the world's best wisdom, people fell. Like with the world's best financial wisdom, you see these stock traders miss it. With the world's best wisdom, you'll see these companies have the world's best wisdom. I mean, they got MBAs and all these other things running these places. They run the companies into the ground, because they're operating purely based off of wisdom. But when you're Spirit-led, you're not just operating based off of wisdom, you're operating based off of what God sees. And the example that he gave in this message that he preached was King David. King David won a lot of battles and was battle-tested. He had a lot of experience. But if you've ever read the story of King David, who we've been talking about in this whole series, King David, before he ever went into a battle, you know what he did? He'd pull away from the battle. He'd pull away from all of his soldiers. He'd pull away from all those things. Do you know what this man did? He would get with God. And he'd ask God, "Should I go up and fight this battle?" And God would give him specific instruction for the battle he was facing. And a lot of times that instruction was different than the instruction that won the last battle. David was Spirit-led, which means every time David went into battle, you know what happened in David's life? He won. He saw victory after victory after victory after victory because David was Spirit-led. You can be too. You can be led by God's Spirit. And when you're led by God's Spirit, it's not that your life won't go through some stuff. No, it will. It's just as you're walking through those things, he is with you, and he's leading you over into a green pasture. Psalms chapter 23, wonderful, wonderful psalm. But with this, I want to encourage you to take the time and pay the price to be led by the Spirit of God. This week I was praying and I got this statement in my heart. It's this: what is the Word of God worth to you? How much is it worth? When I say the Word of God, I'm not just talking about Scripture, although that's a part of it, but God speaking to you. What's it worth to you? How do you know what something is worth to you? Whatever price you're willing to pay for it. You can tell how much something is worth to you by whatever price you're willing to pay for it. Anybody ever bought anything from eBay? Any eBayers here? I've eBayed in my life a couple of times. And with this on eBay, you know, they put in the price tag. And with that, you'll set like your maximum bid price, like $2.50. Not a penny more. Not a penny more will I go over. Why? You've set a worth to that item. And so you've said, this item is worth this to me. And how do we know how much it's worth to you? By whatever price you're willing to pay for it. And I want to encourage you in your walk with God. What's your walk with God worth to you? Well, you could tell me, well, it's worth everything. But the way I really know how much it's worth to you is whatever price you're willing to pay for it. It's worth the whole world to me. Awesome. That's awesome to say. But you know how I can really tell? You know how I can really tell what it's worth to you? By whatever price you're willing to pay for it. Now, what I'm telling you today is with this, the voice of the Lord God can be rich in your life, but it does come at a price. The good news is the price is not so high that there are people in this room who can't pay it. No, we can all pay this price. And friend, I'm telling you, if you will pay this price, if you will do these simple little things I am telling you to do this morning, the voice of the Lord God can be rich. I mean rich. In your life. I've already talked about the first two things. This was 2 weeks ago. They'll put it up on the screens. Number one, we said whatever you're full of, you'll be led by. And two, you got to take the time to say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Throughout Scripture, God spoke when he was spoken to first. And so number two is key. You can lead this up here. Number one, whatever you're full of, you'll be led by. Whatever you are full of, you'll be led by. Here's what we asked when I said that is, what is your life full of? What is your life full of? Whatever your life is full of, your life will be led by that thing. If your life is full of, we said NBA basketball. Did anyone see the Thunder get whooped last night by the Spurs? I mean, I hurt from the beatdown they got. But with that, anyway, if your life is filled with NBA basketball, guess what you're going to be mindful of? NBA basketball. You'll be led by basketball, and you can't wait to go watch basketball. Why? Whatever your life is full of, you'll be led by. And if you want a life that is led by the Spirit of God and led by the things of God and led by God, you got to fill your life up with God. This has been big on my heart. And I know I said this 2 weeks ago, but I just feel like the Lord wanted me to harp on this point again. I said, I studied the life of Jesus, and I'm in a small group right now. That's what we're doing. We're reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, studying the life of Jesus, because that's our hero. That's who we want to be like. And so with this, we're studying the life of Jesus. And I said, as I was studying the life of Jesus, I saw something. They'll put it up on the screens. The biblical record shows that Jesus wove into the fabric of his everyday life the disciplines. I want to read this slow. A prayer, solitude, reflection. Well, let's just stop right here. Here lately, how much solitude and reflection have you had? Here lately, how much solitude and reflection have you had? In Jesus' life, he's our pattern. If I can copy his pattern, I can have his product. And I want his product, because there's one thing about Jesus. He was so led by God, he said, look, if you hear me saying it, it's because he told me to say it. If you see me doing it, it's because he told me to do it. I want that. I want God's voice to be that big in my life. I can't have his product, though, if I'm not willing to copy his pattern. And you look at Jesus' life, he had a lot of solitude and he had a lot of reflection. Times where he was waiting on the Lord. See, God's the only thing in the earth that speaks in stillness. Everything else takes noise to communicate. God takes silence. And friend, I'm telling you, in your life and in mine, the one thing that we are not giving God that we must pay the price to give him if we are going to have his voice rich in our life is more of a life like this. And somebody said, well, we're too busy. No, you're not. You're not busier than Jesus was. Jesus had 3 years to carry out his mission. God's given you decades. You've got decades to carry out the mission God has for you. We can't try to find time for God's presence, find time for reflection. You're going to have to make time because, friend, I'm telling you, one word from God you get in these times can change everything about your business, everything about you. I'm preaching real good this morning. Everything about your family. One word from God can change anything, anything. And it comes when we do this. You know what I've realized in my life? I have gotten busy. And the problem is with my profession is when I get busy, guess who I'm busy for? Him. But I have been a whole lot more Martha than I've been Mary here recently. Busy for the Lord. Just busy for the Lord. We got to do this in missions. We got to build this church. And there's these pastors we got to help. And we got to go over there and preach to them. And we got to go flying out today, going to a conference in Atlanta. We got to go over here and go over there and do all of these things for the Lord. And God is saying to my heart, Joe, slow down. What's needful? He told Mary, there's one needful thing. And that is you sitting at my feet and hearing my word. Because it's just like your cell phone. How many of you know, anybody got a cell phone in here? Smartphone, any smartphone. I know there are more smartphones than hands. Okay, let's see. Anyone got a smartphone? Okay, yeah. With a smartphone, you got a lot of great stuff on those smartphones. You got fancy apps. You can judge your heart rate. You can tell how many calories you burn. You can take notes. You can connect with other friends on Facebook. You can have instant messaging. All this other amazing type of app on your phone. But you know what happens if that thing loses power? You're not getting anything from those apps. Like your heart rate, you'll never know. Connecting with those friends, you can't connect with them anymore. Why? There's no power there. And the thing about your life and mine and why our lives have been so hard recently and maybe why your life has been so difficult recently is you are using nonstop the things that God has put in your life, but you're not taking time to connect the one who gave you those things. And I'm telling you, friend, I'm telling you, and I am preaching to myself as much as I am preaching to anyone else. What we need to really, really operate with grace and favor and leading is this. In my life, I have a lot of prayer, I have a good bit of fasting, I have a good bit of worship, but what I have missed in my life is solitude and reflection. Solitude and reflection. And when I add these elements in my life, it's a game changer. When I add, anytime I add these two elements in my life, immediately I can tell the difference. Immediately, his voice is real and strong and rich and vibrant in my life. And I want to encourage you, friend, you need some time where you do these things, where you reflect. What are you doing in solitude and in reflection? You're doing point number two. You don't have to put it on the screens. But here's what we're doing with point number two in solitude and reflection. I'm asking, Lord, what are you saying to me right now? Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. God, what do I need to be paying attention to right now? What do I need to be mindful of right now? And friends, when you give God that, his voice is going to boom in your life. Fasting, worship, and even what would be our equivalent of screens, church. He had favorite places to be alone with the Father. Favorite places to pray. I notice, and this is just a little side note, I can't prove it because there's not scripture necessarily for it, but there's many examples of it, that oftentimes when God spoke to Jesus and every other person in scripture, they were in nature. Something about being in nature and hearing from God. Moses, Isaiah, I could go on and on. Jeremiah, Joshua, all these, Abraham. When God spoke to them, they were typically outside. Jesus had favorite places. They were gardens by the seaside. He'd walk up to a mountain. He'd get away from people, get outside. And with that, when he got in those favorite places to pray, he would, and when he was facing major decisions, his pattern was to withdraw and devote time to solitude and prayer. The net effect of a life lived like that is one rich in fellowship with the Father. And this is what I want for you and for me. I want it rich. Well, how do I get that? You pull away from what? Your phone? I'd start there. Have you ever felt like naked without your phone? Like I've been like at 9 o'clock at night, fully dressed. I'm like, my phone, where's my phone? And looking underneath the seats, cushions, where's my phone? It's amazing how these little devices have just governed our life. And God is saying, no. You've got to pull away from all that. Because now work and everything else follows us everywhere. Because of that little device. I want to encourage you in your life, if you want the voice of the Lord rich in your life, you've got to pull away from the things of the world and you've got to begin filling up on the presence of God in your life. When you get that, you move to step number two. You say, speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. I was listening to a pastor friend of mine preach, and he was saying there's a guy in his church named Ed Gossage who owns the Texas Motor Speedway, and he's part owner of 8 other speedways and racetracks all over the United States. And this guy is a very famous guy. He's been successful because of these endeavors. But anyway, he goes to this church, and he kept hearing his pastor say, the Lord told me this, and the Lord said this, and those types of things. So one day they were out at lunch, and he's talking to his pastor, and he said, look, I just want to stop the conversation and ask you, you always say things like, the Lord told me, the Lord said, all of these types of things. And he said, I want to know what you're talking about. How do you know the Lord is talking to you? And I want to know the voice of God in my life. I don't want just that to be for you. I want it to be for me. Can I have that? And he took him to the same scriptures I showed you in John 10. And in John 10, it talks about this. And he showed him. It didn't say my shepherds, like my pastors, will hear my voice and then tell the sheep what to do. It's, Ed, no, you're a sheep, and you can hear the voice of God. He said, well, what do I do? And he said, here's what I would do. I would sit down and find a place to pray. Jesus had literally specific places he would like to go see God. And maybe for you, that's a big chair in your living room. Maybe for you, it's McDonald's, and you go get your Egg McMuffin and Diet Coke or coffee or whatever, and you sit down in booth number 2. I don't know. But you find your place. And you go sit down and you open up your Bible and you begin to get in it. You begin to get in God's Word. The reason why you want to get in the Word of God is it divides your soul from your spirit. The more you get around someone's voice, the more you can distinguish their voice. If you've heard me preach for many years and I saw you in the supermarket and you were walking one way and you weren't facing me and I called you out and I said, hey, Johnny, over here, you could turn around and probably know, even without seeing me, that's Pastor Joel. Why? You've heard my voice so much. The reason why the Word of God helps us is this is God speaking. This is God speaking. And the more you get in this, the more familiar you get with the voice of God. And so he said, Ed, I'd get you to start there. I'd get you to start in the Word of God. You want to hear God? I'd start with the Word of God. But he said, at the end of that time where you're in the Word of God, stop, pull back, get a pen and pad out, prayer journal, whatever, but get something where you can take notes. And sit back and say, God, what are you wanting to say to me today? Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. And he said, after you say that, just sit there and wait on the Lord. And whatever comes up in your heart, just write it down. No matter how strange it is, no matter how random it is, and you'll get some random stuff. No matter how random it is, whatever comes up in your heart, write it down. Now, everyone in this room can take those first 2 steps. I'd encourage you, if you want this, and I honestly don't know how people function without this, because this has gotten me out of so much mess and brought so much opportunity in my life, I can't imagine, can't fathom living without it. It flabbergasts me, people who don't have this, how they function. Flabbergast is a great word. You should use flabbergast at least 1 time this week. But with this, it flabbergasts me how people can live without this in their life, because I see what it's done for me, that I can look back and to say the reason why this has worked is the Lord spoke to me on this date and I acted on this date and now this is a direct result because of that leading. I don't know how people function without this. So he said, take those first 2 steps. Now, here's the question he would ask, and most people would ask me, is how do I know that's God speaking to me? How do I know that that is God speaking to me? It's a great question. Here's how you know. It's something on the inside. Point number 3. It's something on the inside. It's a knowing. It's just a knowing on the inside. It's almost like the way 1 John puts it. It's a rubbing. A rubbing on the inside that you need to do something. Now, you get this, especially if you're born again, you get this far more than you could ever imagine. It's just we're hearing it, we're not listening to it. We're hearing it, but we're not listening to it. Every single person who's born again gets this. This is a knowing. It's a rubbing on the inside. Every single one of us gets this. Here, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9, talks about it this way. Paul is writing to the church at Colossae, and he said, "For this cause also, since the day we have heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire," now notice this, let's read it slow, "that you might be filled with the knowledge of" what? "His will." Now let's just stop right there. He says, "I want you filled with the knowledge of" what? "God's will." He said, every single one of you in this church, here's what I want for you. I want you to be filled with the knowledge of God's will. Well, that's awesome, Paul, but how in the world do we get that? He said, wisdom, there'll be some things that are just wise. I like what Andy Stanley says. In light of my future hopes and dreams, what's the wise thing for me to do right now? You ask that question about life, friend, I'm telling you, you're going to hear God just from that. It just makes sense. What's the wise thing for me to do right now? But notice, I'm not just limited to wisdom. There's also something else. And spiritual understanding. Spiritually, you're going to understand God's will. Spiritually, I'm going to understand what God's will is for my life. It's a spiritual understanding. That's awesome, Paul, but what in the world is a spiritual understanding? What does that look like? He said, well, let me talk to you further about it. He said, and let the peace, the soul harmony which comes from Christ, rule and act as an umpire continually. Notice where? In your where? Hearts. So this peace, this spiritual understanding, this soul harmony is going to be where? It's going to be in my heart, and it's going to decide and settle with all finality all the questions that arise where? In my mind. So Paul says, here's how this works, is you're going to have questions that arise in your mind. Now, this has happened to us all. Like, what am I going to do? Should I break up with them? What school should I go to? Should I take that job? Should I buy this house? Should I buy that car? Should I? And with this, we have all of these questions that arise in our minds, and Paul says, stop all that. You have run that thought through your mind for like 6 months, and all it's done is stress you out. He said, don't run it through your mind. Run it through where? Your heart. Run it through your heart. Don't think about it, he said. Run it through your heart. Well, what am I looking for, Paul, when I run it through my heart? Spiritual understanding. Well, what in the world is that, Paul? Peace. Peace. You run it through your heart, and if it's the will of God for you, that peace will settle with finality all the questions that have been in your mind. You run it through your heart, and when you run it through your heart, you will have peace. Now, here's what this looks like. I like pictures. I'm a very visual learner, and so I like pictures. And when I was thinking about this, this is the picture that kind of came up in my mind. There's this little toy my kids played with as kids, this little toy. And with this, you know, have you seen this toy before? It's like, you know, you're trying to teach them squares and circles and triangles and stars and all of these kinds of things. And so with that, you know, you have different shapes, like the star shape. And you could try to take the star and fit it in the square, but it's not going to fit in the square because it's designed only go through the star shape. You have the circle and try to fit the circle through the square, but it's not going through the square hole. Why? It's designed to go through the circle. And here's the thing. When you take a decision, I'll just say, here's how I do it in my life. I'll write the question down. Whatever question is in my mind, I'll write the question down so my eyes can see it. And then I'll take some time and I'll be with the Lord and say, Lord, should I do this? Lord, what do you think about this? Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. And as I have that written down, I'll run it through my heart. I'll run it through my heart. And what I'm looking for is a fit. Will the star go through the star hole? Now, if it's God, you'll see an immediate fit there and there'll be peace. If it's not God, it'll be like trying to fit the star through the square. It's like you want it to work, like you really, really want it to be God. You really, really want to go and step out on it. And you really, really want to pray over it and believe God for it. But there's just something on the inside saying, this is not right. It doesn't fit. You had this when you were a teenager, going to that club and lying to your parents about where you were going. There was something on the inside. Square's not going through circle. I'm trying to force the square through the circle. It's not going through the square. Spring break, 1998. You knew you shouldn't have gone there, but you went anyway. But the whole time you were there was like trying to fit the square through the circle. It was something on the inside. Knew this is not right. This is not right. I've got around people and knew this is not good for me to be around. Something's not right. What is it? I don't have to know. All I know is it doesn't fit. And when it doesn't fit, that's your answer. When you don't have peace, you don't need anything more than that. That's your answer. When it does fit and you have peace, that's your answer. That's God trying to talk to you. It's God trying to lead you. This week, I'll tell you how simple this looks. This week, I was praying, had my devotional, step back and say, okay, God, what do you want to talk to me about? Here I am, Lord. Speak, your servant's listening. And he started dealing with me about a particular person. I just got this person in my heart. I started thinking about this person. And I got the impression I was supposed to give him a little something and write him a thank you note. Just give him a little something, write him a thank you note. It sounded so simple. It sounded so simple. But I went out and did it. And friend, you would have thought I gave him $1 million. I mean, you would have thought. It was like, this is exactly what I needed to hear right now. And all these types of things. And it drew us together, drew them closer to God, drew me closer to God. But all it was is after that time of devotion, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Get it in my heart. Just go out and do that. Go out and write something like that. And I didn't even have all the words to write. I just knew general words to kind of say. And man, I tell you what, God showed up. Now, friend, I want to encourage you. When you get things like that, when you get peace in your heart, you run after it. When you get, I'm trying to make this fit, but it's not fitting, it's just not making any progress, you back off. That's God trying to get your attention. Now with this, Jesus said, my sheep not only listen, but they also take heed, which brings me to point number four. You got to step out to find out. And when you get God's witness in your heart, you got to step out on it and act on it. The scripture that has been in your lap like this whole time, and you've wondered, when in the world is he ever going to get to Psalms chapter 119? Right now. Psalms chapter 119 and verse 105, it says, you know this probably from heart, your word, O God, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Your word, this word word doesn't mean like written word, it means spoken word. The words you speak to me, Father, it's a lamp unto my feet. It's a light unto my path. Now, when we think lamp and light, we have so many lights in our culture that we think like these types of lights that are, you know, like prison lights. Make me sweat. I mean, it's something else. But with this, you have these lights, but then you have other lights and some lights different in brightness and all these types of things. But back then, they didn't have electricity. When he says lamp, he's not talking about like the floor lamp at your house or a headlight of a car. When he says lamp, this word lamp literally means in the Hebrew, candle. In fact, for those of you who are using the YouVersion Bible app, if you have that in the King James, there should be like a little gray type deal. If you hit that, it'll pull up what that word lamp means and actually means candle. Your word is a candle unto my feet. It's a candle unto my path. Now with this, we're going to end the service this way. We're going to turn out all the lights. Turn out all the lights, and I'm going to light this candle here. Your word, I kept blowing the candle out first service because I was talking. It was embarrassing. It's complete darkness right now. Your word, God, it's a candle to my feet. It's a candle to my path. Now here's the thing about this candle. I can't see anyone in here. I can see your phones, but I can't see anyone in here. I can't see out in front of me. You know all I can see with this candle? It's my next step. All I can see is the next step. And all I can see is the next step. But here's the thing. Guess what happens when I take that step? What do I see? The next step. And now I see if I take one more step, it's going to get ugly for me, you, and we might have to call the fire marshal in this place. So I'm going to step back. But here's the thing. When God speaks to you, it's going to be like this. And you're not going to see what rests on the other side of your obedience. You're not going to see all the people who will be touched on the other side of your obedience. And you're not going to see all the breakthroughs on the other side of your obedience. And the disciples, when they were, you know, stressed out because they didn't catch anything, and God gave them one word, they never would have guessed on the other side of that obedience was tens of thousands of dollars and fish that were caught that day, and a relationship with God that would change their lives forever, because on that day they made a decision to follow Jesus because of the step they took. You'll never know. You'll never know unless you take your step. And I know you want God to throw it all out there and you want God to guarantee your success, but friend, when he called Abraham, he said, go. Where am I going, God? I'll show you. Just go. He came to Jesse and to Jesse's house with Samuel and told Samuel, there's a king here at Jesse's house. Well, God, there's 12 boys. Which one is king? I'll show you. Which one is it? I'll show you. Is it this one? No. Is it the next one? Nope. Next, duck. No. Duck. No. Duck. No. Goose. Yes, David. You're the one. You're the one. You're the king. Why? Taking steps. Think about what was on the other side of that obedience. This magnificent life we've been studying. What if he wouldn't have taken that step? I shudder to think. I wonder what's on the other side of your step. You'll never know until you take it. And I want to encourage you, take your step. Amen? Amen. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for these amazing people and the opportunity to share your word unto them. And Father, I thank you that in all of their lives you speak. You lead them, you guide them, you instruct them. With heads bowed all over this place, eyes closed, just want to give you a moment, an opportunity. Maybe you're here today and you know in your heart you're far from God. I know it's raining and I know we've probably got some hardcore Christians in here showing up on a rainy Sunday like this. But you're here and in your heart, you know. There's a knowing, there's a rubbing. I need to make some adjustments. I need to make some changes. Right now is your time. It's your opportunity. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. No one's looking around right now. It's just between you and God. I'm not going to make anyone look at you. Any eyes be upon you, anything like that. All I ask you to do is something in the Lord's eyes, and this is what I want you to do. If that's you, if right now you say, Pastor Joel, that's me. I know I need to make a change, an adjustment. Would you just lift your hand right now? That's all I'm going to ask you to do. All over the place, hands are going up. This is it. This is it. That's all I'm asking you to do. You're just showing the Lord. Lord, I know you're dealing with my heart. I hear your voice. Anyone else? Thank you. See those hands. More and more hands going up. Anybody else? See those hands. Awesome. Proud of you. Now, everyone in here, just pray this prayer with me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus. I believe he died for me. I believe not only did he die, but on the third day, he arose from the grave. Jesus, you're my Lord, you're my Savior. My past, it's washed away. My mistakes, they're washed away. My sins, they're washed away. My failures, they're washed away. You've forgiven me, so I forgive myself. And I say boldly, my best days are starting right now. In Jesus' name, amen.